Great to have you all with us on Christmas Eve. For those of you who are visiting today, it's been a little while since I've been in service because my wife and I were away having our first little boy, our second child, and our first little boy. And I heard that one of... Thank you. I heard that one of our elders shared a picture of the little boy with you all, and I just wanted to take a moment and share a picture with our little boy Sam and his proud parents. Very, very proud. The birth of a child is an amazing, amazing thing. And it's something that I've expected for the longest time. One of my favorite teachers in high school, he was somebody that you would call maybe a little bit cynical about religion, and he had trust issues with religion. He butted heads with those who he felt were a little bit rigid in that area. But I remember a day driving back from a meet very clearly. He was talking in the front. A couple of us were sitting in the front of the van with him, and the rest of the students were asleep, and we all bent our ears to listen to the wise words coming from this old sage. And all of a sudden, he started to talk about God. And he said, you know, I wouldn't believe in God except for the birth of my son. If it weren't for the birth of my son, that moment that I couldn't explain through natural means, that moment of wonder and awe, I wouldn't believe in God. But I do. It's moments like these that cause us to wonder and cause something to stir in our hearts that makes us aware of something bigger. And a story that we're just a small part of and stirs a sense of wonder deep within our souls. For you, maybe it was the birth of your child that caused you to experience something like that. Or maybe it was some extraordinary set of events that you couldn't explain through ordinary means, a chance encounter, or something that happened to you that just caused you to drop your jaw and think, wow, something is out there and someone is looking out for me. Or maybe it was something small, like a multicolored sunset or a beautiful flower sitting in a grassy sea, a lone beautiful flower that caused you to be moved and to appreciate wonder in your life. We want to experience wonder in our lives because it gives us this childlike response of feeling like we are part of something bigger and that we're connected to something or connected to someone that may still have some surprises for us left. But as we grow old, we tend to lose our sense of wonder. We tend to learn a thing or two, and then all of a sudden the mystery of everything just disappears. Or maybe we go through some hardship and we expect that the next surprise coming isn't necessarily going to be something good. Or maybe it's simply experiencing the ordinary of life over and over again, going through the routine that tends to scrape our souls of appreciation and curiosity of God's good work in this world. What about you? Where are you at with wonder in this journey of life? Was there a time in your life where you started to lose that special sense of something bigger? Have you allowed the ordinary and the routine to scrape your soul from that sense of wonder? Is it possible that God still has some surprises for you? And if so, how can we regain and retain that sense of wonder? Well, Christmas surely is a season filled with wonder. As the nights begin to get darker, houses start to light up with sparkling lights. We experience the smells of, baked goods coming from our kitchen, and we renew those age-old debates whether Die Hard is a Christmas movie or not. We experience these memories of past Christmases. Our ears are inclined to the stories of old, like the one about Frosty or the one about the Red Ryder BB gun. But there's one story that really invokes wonder this time of year, the story of the origin of Christmas, really. And the gospel writer of Luke, he records that story for us. And the writer of the gospel tells us that he set out to draw an account of the things that had been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who were the first eyewitnesses. The difference is Luke tells a true story that happened in a true place, Bethlehem, a place that we can still visit today. A true story that he took the time to collect eyewitness accounts. He was like an investigative journalist of his time. And boy, what a story it was. The story of a young Jewish teenager who is visited by an angel and who is told that she's going to conceive by the Holy Spirit and she will give birth to the Messiah. I'm sure she was scared, but this young Jewish girl took it by faith. She accepted it and she counted it as a privilege. A privilege. And the story happened just as the angel told us. But as we get a few glimpses into the life of Mary, as we dig a little bit deeper in her story, and I'm sure that the reality is there were times and there were seasons where, just like the rest of us, Mary doubted. And Mary wondered what this was all about. Even though she had that amazing moment at the beginning, that amazing experience, as time went on, the ordinary probably started to scrape a little bit at her soul as well. One of those times happened when Jesus was just a little boy. They visited Jerusalem, and Joseph and Mary left Jerusalem and realized shortly after that Jesus wasn't with them. They searched for 3 days to find the little boy Jesus. They found him in the temple. He was with the teachers, asking questions and listening to all that they had to say. And Mary, she questioned Jesus. She challenged Jesus. Why have you treated us like this? Mary said. Jesus' response was important and it was prophetic, but I'm sure Mary still had questions. Mary felt hurt. And maybe Mary asked, could this really be the Son of God? Could this really be the Son of God who seems to be so disobedient to his parents? As Jesus grew into adulthood, I'm sure she had those same questions. When Jesus started to go about preaching and stirring up trouble with the religious figures, that wasn't the kind of Messiah that Mary expected. At one point, she and her sons, Jesus' other brothers, they went and visited Jesus and to try to bring him back home. What was happening is that Mary felt a little bit embarrassed. This isn't the picture of the Messiah that she expected all along. But I imagine that Mary's doubt began even a lot earlier than that, and probably in the few moments right after Jesus' birth. Luke records this, that when Mary gave birth to Jesus, she placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. Well, this makes sense, because this happened during the time of the census. That's why Mary and Joseph traveled to Bethlehem in the first place. You can expect that there was not a whole lot of room in Bethlehem at the time. It wasn't some malicious attempt to ignore these people. But Mary ended up having to lay this baby in a manger, which was a feeding trough for animals. This was the king of Israel being laid in a feeding trough for animals. And I'm sure at that moment she asked herself, could this really be? Was that angelic appearance, was that simply a hallucination? I mean, could this all be a big mistake? You don't place the king of the world in a feeding trough. There is always an explanation to make wonder go away. there is always an explanation to make wonder go away. If you found yourself questioning at some point in your life, do you remember the moment that wonder started to fade for you? Was it disappointment? Was it the demands of life? Are we too far removed to experience wonder again? Too buffeted by the waves of the ordinary? Well, that's not the end of the story. It could have been the end of the story. It could have been the end of the Christmas story, and we could have gone to hear about the adulthood of Jesus, the life of Jesus, and all of the wonderful things that would have happened. And we would have seen that in the end, the angel indeed did fulfill the promise that he gave to Mary. But that's not the end of the Christmas story. Luke begins to tell the story of the shepherds. After the birth of Jesus, an angel appeared to the shepherds out in the fields. And the angel told them that the Messiah had been born in their little town, and that they would find him in a manger, in a feeding trough, no less. All of a sudden, angels appeared all around them, and the shepherds put it on their hearts to go find this Messiah, and find them they did. After they found the Messiah, they told this story abroad. They told this story to Mary. And Luke records something really curious in chapter 2, verse 19. He says this, "Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart." Mary treasured up all of these things and she pondered them in her heart. There's a couple of reasons why Luke could have recorded this. Remember that Luke was an investigative journalist. He went about and tried to find all the eyewitnesses he could to show that this story was legitimate and get the real story behind the story. And there's a chance that this is a little bit of a wink and a nudge that one of his sources was Mary herself. But I think that there's also a reason that Mary told this story to Luke as well. Something personal happens. That disappointment that she experienced when she realized that the Son of God, that the King of Israel was going to be laid in a feeding trough, she started to realize that what she first thought was a setback was a sign that God was taking something that was apparently ordinary, maybe even subordinary, and he was making it into something extraordinary. God has a way of turning the ordinary into the extraordinary. And if we lean in, if we ponder, if we consider the ways that God might be working in our lives, perhaps we can regain and retain that sense and that experience of wonder again. Well, maybe God is inviting you today to experience wonder by reflecting or remembering something amazing that God has done for you in the past. In my first year, when I was getting my master's, I moved down to Dallas and I took along with me this clunky old laptop computer that I purchased for $100. And I figured that this would be enough to get me by. I didn't have a lot of cash back then. And sure enough, a couple weeks in, it broke. I had a conversation with one of my friends about it, and his response stirred a little bit of curiosity in me because this wasn't the typical response for him. He said, "Why don't we just wait and pray about it?" So I said, "Okay, let's wait and pray about it." A couple weeks went by, and my friend had some computer issues of his own. He had an HP laptop that he had purchased about a year ago, and it started to have some problems, so he sent it in to be fixed. Well, he got the box back from HP, but it was empty. It didn't have the computer in it. He called HP. They apologized profusely, and they said, "Well, we're gonna build you a brand new laptop. We're gonna send it back to you. We're gonna make everything right." And they did. Well, in the meantime, after they had sent the new laptop and after it was on its way to him, he received another box in the mail, and it was his first laptop. Strange, right? So he made a call. Where do you think he called? Well, he could have called me first, but that wouldn't have been the honest thing to do. He called HP. And he said something. He got the courage to say something that I never would have asked. He said, he told them my story, and he said, "Can I keep the laptop for him?" And the representative made a call, reached out to their supervisor, and I imagine the supervisor reached out to somebody else. And sure enough, just a couple weeks later, for the cost of shipping, I had a laptop, a free laptop, headed my direction. Now, I can tell you that ever since then, I have paid for every laptop that I've had from HP. But that moment created and stirred such a sense of wonder in my life that sometimes I revisit it and I just have to say, wow. God, what possibly could you do in my life next? In what ways might you be working even now? But maybe God is inviting you also to just look around. Look at the stories and the things happening all around you. I was moved a couple weeks ago by a story of a Waffle House in Birmingham, Alabama. Ben went into the Waffle House past midnight, and he realized that he wasn't the only person going into this Waffle House. About everybody in Birmingham was going into this Waffle House past midnight. The problem was that there was only one person working at that Waffle House that night. There seemed to have been some kind of mix-up with the staff, and he was bussing the tables, he was cooking the food, and he was taking orders. And all of a sudden, somebody steps up, goes into the back of the kitchen, and says, "Hey, give me an apron." He took the apron on, and he started working. And he looked so proficient at it that it seemed like this person was part of the staff that had come to relieve him. But this wasn't a staff member at all. This was a stranger that just stepped up and met the need. And then Ben observed a woman in high heels that looked like she'd never worked in food service at all get up and put an apron on and start bussing tables and taking orders. And now the book of Hebrews says that we should be hospitable to all people because we never know when we might be entertaining angels. Now, I don't know if that was an angelic experience or not, but when I look at it and when I think about it, I can't help but think that somehow God was working in that moment, because how unconventional is it for customers to serve customers and create something beautiful and meaningful? And what if we just looked around us to see how God might be working and moving and doing some interesting things and turning ordinary moments into something extraordinary all around us? But perhaps God is also inviting you to just experience the wonder of another person's story. This wasn't Mary's story. Well, she was just at the end of it. She experienced the shepherd's story, and it confirmed something huge in her life, something meaningful in her life. And maybe God can do that for us too, when we step into another person's story and we see the wonderful ways that he has worked and that he continues to work today. We can experience a life full of wonder if we lean in, if we consider, and if we ponder the ways that God is working all around us. Now, it may be safer to just put those blinders on and just look at life as an ordinary experience. But if God had something more for us to experience, if he had a beautiful, wonderful, interesting, adventurous life, would you want to pass that by? Can you imagine a life filled with curiosity at every little moment that passes you by? A life filled with awe. A life that's ready to receive the surprises that God has for you. Can you imagine that kind of life? Is maybe now the time that God is inviting you to open your eyes and experience his wonder, his mercy, his goodness, and his grace, even today? Can you see yourself looking at the world with wonder again? Our hope is that you'll be able to look at these surprise moments and that you'll be able to recognize that maybe there is another story behind those moments, and maybe you're a part of it. Let's pray. God, we're so grateful to gather together on this Christmas Eve day, a day that is marked by, that has been marked by wonder throughout the ages. We ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts to see the ways that you have been involved in people's life throughout creation. And we ask, Lord, that you would give us the eyes to see, God, your goodness, your grace, even in dark times, and see that there's a purpose, even when there's setbacks. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd invite you to stand. In a moment, we're going to take a moment to just reflect and consider the ways that God has moved and is moving in our lives and in our world. We're going to light the candles together as so we play this next song, and then we'll join together and sing Silent Night. As I pass the flame after I light the Christmas candle, I'm going to ask you to keep it straight up like this, not tip it, for obvious reasons. And if you're not sure what to do in this moment, I would just invite you and encourage you to maybe say a prayer. Maybe ask God to keep your heart open and to keep you fresh to the wonders that God has for you.
You are beautiful.
Chances are, if you've ever experienced wonder, that questions quickly follow. We invite you to join us for our next sermon series on January 5th called Googling God. Chances are, there's actually a lot of people that have questions about God, and we're going to be exploring that over the coming weeks. May the God of wonder stir the flame in your hearts towards curiosity, towards goodness, and towards all of his wonders. In Jesus' name. Amen. Merry Christmas.